Amen. We're in Proverbs 11:14 this morning as we go through the 11th chapter of this wonderful book. Proverbs 11:14. My title of this lesson today is Before You Go, Stop, Look, and Listen. And I got that title from a memory that I had of when I was a boy, a long memory. But in the days that I went to school, I used to walk uphill in the snow both ways, of course, in Chicago, which is a flat area. But in those days, we didn't have school buses, so we had to walk to school, whether or not we were kindergartners or high schoolers. And every block, we used to have what we would call a patrol boy. I don't believe that the girls were allowed to do that because it was quite a responsibility. And in those days, girls, we didn't think girls could handle that. This was another age, ladies, so don't be disturbed. But the patrol boys used to have do they still do this anywhere? But they had a kind of a belt around and then another white belt across, and they would be the ones to stop, look, and listen. And they would be the counselors of the little children as they came down the block, and they would put their hands out like this so that the children would obey them and they wouldn't cross the streets. And it was a good system. I never heard of anyone getting hurt on the way to school, and of course, drivers were careful to look, but the little children, patrol, they called them patrol boys, and it was a privilege to be a patrol boy, but they would be the counselors of the little children as they went to school. So that's where I got my title for this, but it does apply as we read this Proverb 11:14. For we're told in the wonderful scriptures that God has given to us, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, our world today is filled with the results of rulers who did not or do not heed this proverb. I think all of us can vividly remember the capture of Saddam Hussein, who was high, mighty, and lifted up in Iraq, as he was pulled from the hole in the ground and captured. And I think in recent weeks, of course, we all saw the images of Muammar Gaddafi as he was brutally murdered or killed by his captors, manhandled, pummeled, and killed, and had a brutal end because of the things that he had done in Libya. But these men were rulers who saw themselves, apparently, as all-wise and did not assemble around them a men from whom wise counsel could be given and received. Now, instead, I believe you can be sure that both the rulers of Iraq and Libya were surrounded by what you would call yes-men. And when they asked for something or asked for advice, they would always receive the advice that they thought the ruler would want. Instead of giving them wise counsel, they were yes men that would give them answers that would satisfy the ruler. You know, I think about some of these dictators in the world today and some of the rulers in the world today. And I think about the difference that they could have made in their countries. Both of these countries had oil wealth. Both of them had great wealth that could have been distributed to the benefit of the people of those countries, and they could have been a great ruler. We would call them a beneficent ruler, a ruler that cared for his people, a ruler that loved his people, loved his nation instead of himself. But if they had been humble instead of proud, what a difference it would make in the world today. You know, I think about what's taking place over there in the Middle East in a land called Dubai. If you've ever seen any images of Dubai and all the things that they're building, all the huge buildings that they're building, they're carving out in the bay, I think it's an image of a palm tree, putting sand in the bay, dredging it all up and making an image of a palm tree. And on that palm tree will be beautiful estates and beautiful houses. And yet the people of that land are poor. The people of that land struggle in many ways. But the rulers of those lands think about themselves and think about, instead of thinking about their people. But our own country was founded upon the idea of a multitude of counselors, the idea of this proverb that in the multitude of counselors there is safety. We think about our own government. Our national counselors in the legislative branch consist of 435 representatives and 100 senators. That's a multitude. That's a multitude of counselors. Our state of Florida legislative branch consists of 120 representatives and 40 senators. So there again, it's a multitude of counselors. But our founding fathers, I think wisely, expected the presence of numerous counselors to produce wise counsel which would guide our country in right directions. I think that was their intention, having a multitude of counselors in accordance with the scriptures. They expected these counselors to advise by wise, age-old principles that would result in guidance that would bring our people to live their unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, our Constitution tells us that we have the right to pursue happiness. It's difficult to pursue happiness today, isn't it? When you don't have a job or you can't put food on the table. But our Constitution tells us that we have these unalienable rights. So if our founding fathers could see what is happening today, they would see that their expectations are in jeopardy. For our legislators are so connected to ideology and political party that we do not see thinking founded upon biblical principles, but thinking conforming to pressure and special interest group thinking. Today we are becoming a people who John Adams, our second president, warned us about when he said this: "We have no government armed with power." What he's saying, there is no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. In other words, we are a people with a nature that needs bridles. Now, a horse without a bridle is uncontrollable. You have to have a bridle on a horse to direct the horse. We are such a people. Our nature, our very nature, demands us to be bridled. The scriptures tell us when we raise our children, we put hedges about them. That's kind of like a bridle. Let your children go and you will be ashamed, mothers. But we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, revenge, or gallantry would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. See, then he concludes with this: "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Now, that's what we were founded upon. That's what our Constitution is based upon. That's what our Constitution will stand upon. So I call to our presidents. Now, I know they're not listening, but this will be on the internet. They can hear it on the internet sometime if they wish. But I call to our president, please listen to your forefathers when you go about nation building in nations without a moral and religious people. And I believe President Adams meant by religious people, people of the Bible. That's what our nation was founded upon, people of the Bible. Now, our Constitution was designed by such a moral and religious people for a moral and religious people, and when our people are not such as these, the Constitution will be forsaken. Now, you can see that happening, can you not? Today, in many quarters, our Constitution is revered as an historical document. We can go to the Library of Congress, I believe, and the Library of Congress, within that institution, our Constitution is visible. Oh, we go to it as an altar. It's locked up in such a way that it can never be stolen. It's put in environmentally controlled places so it can never deteriorate. It's idolized as a historical document, but there is little desire to practice it. Therefore, it is interpreted to allow what is desired to be done. It's amazing what the Supreme Court can find in the Constitution. But our proverb admonishes governments and individuals to seek wise counsel before coming to a decision, for without wise counsel, the people will fall. That's what our proverb says. In other words, the actions of the leaders are directly connected to the welfare of the people rule. There's a direct connection. Everything rises and falls on what? Leadership. Our pastor is our leader in this church. God has put him in a place of leadership. He has a great responsibility. He cannot make decisions willy-nilly. That's an old saying that I guess is kind of gone, but it means just rashly. You know, you may be living an exemplary Christian life. Everything falls into place for you, but you will fall along with others if your leaders do not lead by godly principles. You know, there's been a lot of Christians that have been caught up in the mortgage crisis. Oh, they're Christians. Why didn't God protect them? Well, we have leaders that led us down this road in which all of us are caught. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, said this: where no counsel is, no consultation, but everything done rashly, only caballing for parties and divided interest, the people fall, crumble into factions, fall to pieces. Now, this is biblical truth, and when we see this happen, we are able to predict the results that will come, and this prediction will be foreboding. You know, you talk to people around the country, you talk to your neighbors, you talk to people down when you're dining out in the restaurants, you talk among ourselves, and isn't there a foreboding of doom? Seems like. But that word caballing means groups whose goals are to bring about success of their own interests. These groups have no interest in the betterment of the country with ultimate betterment of all, but only interest in the betterment of the group promoting themselves. Now, we see that all the time, do we not? Political action committees, lobbies, corporations, promoting their interests. But God admonishes the wise to obtain a wide range of input, opinions, and facts before coming to a conclusion and making a wise decision. Now, this is wise counsel on the part of government, but it's also wise counsel on the individual's part. Our legislators are to confer among themselves and others. They are to get legal opinions, professional opinions, previous opinions, counsel from every area under consideration. Now, the counselor or the legislator whose opinion comes from a lobby which supports his reelection with money. They take their opinion from the lobby because there's money changing hands to support him in his reelection, is a traitor to the people whom he is pledged to represent, and his vow to uphold the Constitution is proven meaningless. Every one of our legislators raises his right hand and swears to uphold the Constitution. You know, that's a vow. We saw vows taken yesterday. Now, vows mean something. They're not just words that are spouted out, but when you take a vow, you know, the Bible says don't take vows too easily. You know, don't take vows too easily. Oh, I promise you this, I promise you that, I promise you this. Our political leaders sometimes do that, don't they? They'll promise you this. Basically, they're vowing to do something, but they don't do it. But he's a traitor who doesn't uphold the Constitution. Now, God knows our weakness for leaning to our own ways. Anybody pure in this? Anybody not lean to their own ways? All of us have a bias toward our way of life. All of us have an ideology. All of us have a philosophy. All of us have opinions. You know, has anyone ever accused you of being opinionated? What does that mean, Phil? Yeah, I've got a lot of opinions. You know, I mean, if it's raining outside, you got an opinion about it. But all of us fall into that category. But today, it seems we only have those who lean right and those who lean left. We only have those who identify themselves as conservative or liberal. In the political realm, in our country, not true in other countries, but in our country, we basically have two parties which kind of promote this idea of being conservative or liberal. Even our TV news claims to be fair and balanced, but in being fair and balanced, and it seems only people who lean to the right or to the left are presented. They have this fella on the left, this fella on the right, or these ladies on the left and the right, but where are the people in the middle? You know, and usually the loudest voice wins the argument. I get so tired of that. Can't we have some quiet voices? Where are those who lean not to the right nor to the left, but those who judge righteous judgment, as Jesus told us in John 7:24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. You know, God is careful to tell us in his word over and over about being in the camp of ideologues. We're not to be in the camp of ideologues. I believe God tells me that I am not to identify myself with the conservatives, with the liberals, with the progressives, with the socialists, or even the libertarians. Because when I do become a part of a group, I am prone to think group thinking. God tells me to be in his camp. I'm supposed to be in his camp, and I'm supposed to have his thinking. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the ideology I'm supposed to have. That's the best. You see, that's the best ideology. God tells me I'm supposed to be in his camp, which is without the camp of the world, is it not? Without the camp. He tells me to lean not to my own understanding, but in all my ways I am to acknowledge him, and he shall direct my paths. He tells me this in Proverbs 4:25, 27, let thine eyes look right on. You know, nowadays it's looking to the right and looking to the left. You know, what's over here? What's over here? Well, we're supposed to look right on. and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let's see, where are my feet taking me? They're supposed to take me in God's way. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. God told his people this in no uncertain terms in Deuteronomy 5:32. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand nor to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. By this instruction, clearly given in the Word of God, I learn not to have my mind made up by following an ideology or a set of preconceived ideas of man, but I am to know God and His Word, and from this I am to know how to evaluate good counsel. I am to ponder the issues of life. I am to examine all sides and reach wise conclusions, whether they agree with the right or with the left. You know, there's folks on the right that will just throw away everything that the left says, regardless of it. Why? Because the left said it. That's not biblical. I am not to ask those of a certain ideology, what is the accepted position before I reach an opinion? What does the group think? So I can think likewise. That's not a Christian mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But you see, this is what is happening today. As men and women are elected to represent the people, are marching in rhythm with the group with whom they align themselves. This is an absolutely disgusting situation. The way our representatives have quit thinking for themselves, but simply think according to some prescribed ways. You know, Satan is interested in having people that walk in lockstep. That's what he's interested in that. He's interested in everybody thinking his way. So it is inevitable that calamity will come to our country under the present setup, whereby we have not counselors who think things through and come to wise decisions without pressure from some group or faction. Now, you know, the scripture in 2 Timothy talks about enduring sound doctrine. They will not endure sound doctrine. And this applies more than just to biblical doctrine, for we can also see that this scripture applies to the political realm. And it says this, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts," you know, give me some money, pay this for this trip, those lusts. "But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Where are the lobbyists? Bring in the lobbyists, you know. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." So counselors who turn to an ideology for answers are turning from the truth, and they're paying attention to voices that bring relief to itching ears and, in many cases, itching bank accounts. You know, I got an itching bank account. I don't like the total. I want it to be increased. So how do I do it? I pay attention. I get my ears itched by those that can itch them. They refuse to listen to good counsel themselves, but go about listening to those who will advance their cause, to those who will scratch their ears. Now, remember Rehoboam. Now, Rehoboam was the son of Solomon, and Rehoboam was the heir to the throne. And after Solomon passed away, he died, Jeroboam and the congregation of Israel came to him to advise him. And there was a multitude of counselors there to come and advise him. And they came to ask Rehoboam in sincerity to lighten up the load. You know, lighten up the load. Solomon put a big load on us. We built this temple. We built the houses. This has been a tough time for us. How to take a little bit of the load off, just a little bit of relief. Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. So Rehoboam scratched his head, being a young man. He didn't know exactly what to do, but he had his own ideas. So he says, give me 3 days. And in that period of time, he consulted with the old men who agreed with the multitude. They said, you know, it's true, there was a heavy load. And if you lighten the load, then they will be servants forever. But Rehoboam was not satisfied with this advice. And he took counsel from the young men. Now, young people over here, you got a bunch of young people over here. If you want advice, don't go to each other. They'll tell you what you want to hear. They're your friends. And now, a true friend, faithful is the wound of a friend, a true friend. They might wound you if they're a true friend. But most people will say, you know, I think what you want to do is a good idea. Go to it. See? That's what Rehoboam did. Wasn't satisfied with the advice. Their advice met with his approval, for he had already given up his mind, made up his mind. They said, tighten, make the load heavy. You know, these people are just wanting easy. Put the load on them. Show them who's boss. So that's what he did. He took the advice of the young men. But if he had sought advice from both groups, the old men and the young men, with a heart that was given to God, a heart that did not lean to his own understanding, God would have made known his heart about the matter. You know, God will teach you if you're humble and you want to be taught. That's the lesson here in this. For God definitely had a direction to go that he desired Rehoboam to go. And this is made clear in 1 Kings 12:15. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite and Jeroboam the son of Nebat. God had a mind about this. But Rehoboam didn't seek that mind. He didn't let this mind be in him. He took the advice of the young men, made the load heavier, and what happened? As a result of that ideology came division. You know, ideology, strict adherence to ideology, will always bring division. You see it happening today. The legislators can't agree. This is my ideology. I will not, this is where I stand. I will not move from that position. Now, that's good in a biblical sense. We ought to have that with absolutes. But you know, legislating is an absolute. But a multitude of counsel will bring to the mind the many sides of every issue. It will reveal the nuances and subtleties of the problem. And it'll also show many of the unintended consequences. You know, that's an amazing thing about unintended consequences. You hear that after a disaster. Oh, I never thought that would happen. I did this, but I never even considered that. Well, why not? Somebody would have thought about it if you had had counsel. But seeking counsel necessitates listening skills. It remembers the admonition of James to be slow to speak, quick to hear. It accepts the possibility that others may know better than you. Is that a possibility in your life? Oh, others may know better than me. That's hard to imagine. But they might come from a different perspective. They may come from Pennsylvania. You know, a Pennsylvanian might have a different perspective than a Floridian. We got a bunch of retirees down here. They've got a bunch of Amish. You know, they come from a different perspective. They might be able to tell us something that we don't know, and we may be able to tell you something that you don't know. But seeking counsel from a multitude of counselors accepts the fact that a sharp mind may even receive instruction from a dull mind, as Proverbs 27:17 infers, for iron sharpens iron. Now, you want to sharpen your knife? You take something dull and sharpen it with, don't you? So even a dull mind can instruct. You know, God provides counsel from every direction. He even tells us to go to the ant, thou sluggard. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. The ant will give you counsel. But what do you have to do to go to the ant? Is the ant going to come up here and talk to me? No, I got to lay down on the ground. I've done that. I lay down on the ground. I don't get too close. They kind of like to attack. But you know, you can lay down, get as close as you can, and observe the ant and be instructed. But you know, it takes humbling to go to the ant. Sometimes you have to lay down prone on the ground, humble yourself, and you know there's no talking required. When you listen to the ant doesn't hear you. The ant says, shut up, you're too loud, waking my babies up. But you just listen and you just watch, observing God's little creatures, and you will receive a multitude of counsel. The Bible tells us they have no guides, no overseer, no ruler, but they're faithful to their Creator. You know, you can learn a lot by watching those that are faithful to their Creator. Young people, watch people that have a testimony of being faithful to their God. Get counsel from that. Emulate that. Take that upon yourself. Don't look at the culture. Don't say, well, the culture is doing this, I've got to keep up. No, watch those that have a testimony, that go to their Creator and find out their will for them. I've got to stop here. But they operate according to the principles that God has laid down for them, and they accomplish great things. You know, we were over at Fort Pickens last week. We looked over there. We were sitting by the campers. Looked over there and we said, what is that pile? Big old pile about this round, about this high. Well, looked like some debris that came off the road. Well, I go poke it. All of a sudden, the ants come out. You know, there's an intruder. The sirens go off. The little ant sirens go off. All the ants come into play and take over and start repairing the breach, doing what they knew they were supposed to do by instruction from their Creator. Godly little ants, we can learn so much. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Oh, how we love your word. Lord, we can't take it casually. We can't just say, oh, it's beautiful sentences, beautiful phrase, beautiful English. But Lord, it has to find a nest in our heart. Help us, Lord, to pay attention whenever the word is preached. Pay attention to when we read and study the word, that we might be godly people seeking counsel from others that would help us to walk the right paths. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.